Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I am billing this as the best Utah-Oregon discussion that is going to happen today. Anywhere in the state of Oregon, Utah, or anywhere in between, Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, covers the crud out of the Utes. He's joining us now to talk about it. Newman, how are you, man?
John, you are far too nice. I appreciate that type of intro from you.
Let's talk about this game. Kyle Whittingham today. You guys got a chance to talk to him. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, you know, Kyle, per usual, you know, was pretty even-keeled, you know, despite what is at stake here on Friday night in Vegas. He thought that they played well against Colorado on Friday, right? They put up 440 yards of offense, 28 points. The defense was dominant. And then you start looking at this Oregon game, and it's, you know, the second time that they're playing the Ducks in 13 days. As one might expect, Kyle was not talking about, you know, no major overhaul in what they're trying to do after they dominated Oregon on November 20th. But, you know, certainly some adjustments, certainly some tweaks. And I think optimism is high for Kyle right now. I think that he thinks that his team has played at a high level for the better part of 2 months. And I think they're feeling good going into Friday.
What does the 38-7 game have to do with this game? And by that I mean, like, you want to have that win in your pocket, but is there something Utah learned in that game they could take forward, or is there something they showed that maybe Oregon will be able to adjust to? Where's the advantage in your mind?
I don't know that there is an advantage. Like, I've never been of the belief in football that, you know, it's hard to beat a team for a second time. Or if you're talking about basketball, you know, people say that it's hard to beat a team, you know, three times in a season. I've never really been a big believer there. You know, as we know, Utah dominated pretty much every facet of that first beating. So, you know, what do you change? What's the advantage? Like, I don't know. I don't know that there's any major advantage having that win in your back pocket. I think this second game is its own entity. Again, as I said, tweaks, adjustments, no major overhaul. I don't think that Utah is 31 points better than Oregon. Even if you take away the Cubby punt return, then it's 31-7. I don't think Utah is 24 points better than Oregon. I think you line these teams up on paper. I do think Utah is better than Oregon, and so does Vegas, for whatever that's worth. But I don't know that having that first meeting really means a whole lot going into the second meeting.
That night, I was in the stadium, you were in the stadium. We've all seen games where it was just, you know, it was their night. Like, Utah could have run the Statue of Liberty and it would have worked, and Oregon couldn't do anything right. And I'm leaning a little bit into that. I agree with you. I think this is a very close game in Vegas. What does the neutral site have to do with it? How many Utahns will make the trip to the game? And by the way, did I say that right? Utahns.
Yes, Utahns, but if you're like me from New York, you add some W in there, Utahns. But I think the home field at Rice-Eccles a couple of weeks ago, I think that was major. You know, that was, you know, 51,000-plus prime time night game. You know, you're going for the division. They're playing an Oregon team that has kind of, you know, there's a pretty healthy bit of hatred around here, right, for Oregon. You know, a lot of that has to do with the 2019 Pac-12 title game and Oregon ruining Utah's season. I think the home field advantage was very, very significant. Now you're talking about a neutral field in Vegas. Now remember, Utah, Salt Lake City, is only a six-hour drive from Vegas. So this is not a tough thing for Utah fans to do. Some are flying. As far as I can tell, there's a lot of people that are opting to drive. I can tell you that Utah's ticket allotment through the Pac-12 was exhausted, like, pretty early. And they had to go to the Pac-12 for more tickets. And that doesn't include anybody going through, you know, the secondary market or Ticketmaster. I don't know that I expect this to be like a redout. I don't think it's going to be a Rice-Eccles home game, but I think Utah fans are pretty fired up, and there's going to be a pretty significant amount of red at a place that seats like 65,000 people.
Yeah, I expect that. As I was leaving the stadium, there were still fans, Utah fans, who were hanging out and exiting, Josh, and they were chanting, "See you in Vegas." You know, they were doing that at the end of it. Like, they were, the rally cry was evident. Health-wise, where is Utah? Mario Cristobal dropped some news just a few minutes ago. Bennett Williams will not be available against Utah this week. That will be a blow to Oregon. But what happens, what about this Utah team? How healthy are they?
You know, Kyle Whittingham pretty much ceased even entertaining injury-related questions probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But, you know, you're looking around, and, you know, they're as healthy as they're going to be, right? They've been pretty thin at secondary for a little bit now. They've kind of settled in there, though. There weren't any major problems for the last couple of weeks. I think the question now going into Friday specifically is the situation at left guard. Keaton Bills, who was their typical starting left guard early in the season, he was out for 3 weeks. He returned on Friday against Colorado, got rolled up on. Bad luck. He's out again. A true freshman by the name of Michael Mokofisi saw his first extended action on Friday against Colorado at left guard. Kid played well. You hear all the time here along the offensive line how there's depth, and Kyle likes it, you know, to 9 or 10 guys that can step in. And this kid Mokofisi really did the job on Friday against Colorado. So I think that's the big injury thing right now. Can Keaton Bills go? If Keaton Bills cannot go, Michael Mokofisi appears ready to step in and do the job. But, of course, going up against the Oregon defensive line is just a little bit different than going up against Colorado.
Yeah, and for Oregon, it's been injuries all year. And Bennett Williams was lost earlier in the year at a practice in a weird accident. And Mario Cristobal said today he'll not be available for Friday's game, but he will be available for the bowl game. Anthony Brown Jr. played really well last Saturday against Oregon State. He'll come into this game with a little bit of confidence, but I don't think he scares Utah. What scares Utah, Josh Newman?
I don't know that anything scares Utah just off the first meeting. And look, I do believe that, you know, each of these two games, it is its own separate entity. But at the same time, I keep coming back to that first one and just how one-sided it was. It was completely one-sided in all three phases. If you're asking me what scares Utah, you know, kind of the same thing as going into the first meeting. I think there's definitely been times where Utah has not been able to stop the run, and they have not been able, you know, to set the edge, and they're giving up chunk play after chunk play. You know, Travis Dye is a guy who can get out to the edge and, you know, 12 yards, 14 yards, and they can move the chains. They don't have to ask Anthony Brown to do everything because it's Travis Dye and it's Byron Carwell. And, you know, Oregon has the capability to give Utah trouble at a spot where they've had trouble in the past. So if you're asking me, you know, what scares Utah, again, same thing as the first meeting. I think the big, big thing is to make sure that Travis Dye is not killing them.
Yeah, and I think from Utah's perspective, there were just some things offensively. It was like everything Andy Ludwig called worked out. Were you surprised at how easy that game went, or did you kind of look around and went, hey, in a perfect scenario, this is what Utah's capable of doing, or maybe both?
Probably a little bit of both. I definitely think my, you know, reaction, you know, live in the moment in the press box was just how easy Utah was doing anything it wanted. You know, up the seam to Brandon, you know, for a huge chunk of yards. You know, Tavion Thomas up the A-gap for 15 yards at a clip. Just everything Utah was doing was just so, so easy. And, you know, in fairness, look, the offensive line for Utah has played really well for a long time now, despite injuries and changes and shuffling. But, you know, it's even, you know, 10, 11 days after that first meeting, I still, like, I'm sitting down and I'm thinking about this one and I'm thinking about the last one. And it just, everything Utah was doing was easy, and everything Andy Ludwig called was working, no matter what it was. You know, I mentioned Brant Keithy. I mean, Keithy got a free release a number of times, and nobody could get hands on him, and nobody wanted to tackle him. So, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the benefit for Utah right now, especially over the last month, is that, yes, Cam Rising is capable of doing it for you. He's thrown for 300 yards. He's made the throws. But I think Utah has looked really good when the offensive line is blocking and Tavion Thomas and T.J. Pledger are doing their thing, and you're taking a lot of the pressure off Rising. Rising's been solid. He's been very good, but he hasn't been asked to do a ton in the last month, and I think that is to Utah's benefit.
We're talking to Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, covers Utah. Kyle Whittingham, it's been sort of bantered about, like, would he walk, would he quit, would he retire if Utah got to a Rose Bowl? They win this game, they go to the Rose Bowl. A, Josh, what does it mean for Utah to get to a Rose Bowl? B, what is Whittingham's future at Utah in the short term if they do go to the Rose Bowl?
All right, well, A, you know, what it means to get to a Rose Bowl is like, you know, you have if you're Kyle, you have reached the pinnacle of your profession, you know, short of getting to a college football playoff, obviously. You get to a Rose Bowl, you have effectively gotten to the summit. And not only have you gotten to the summit, you have done it in your 11th season in the Pac-12. Utah has not been a Pac-12 member very long. And I think it only taking a decade or 11 years to get to three Pac-12 champions to potentially get to a Rose Bowl, that's ahead of schedule, in my opinion. You shouldn't be doing those things this quickly. And they're on the doorstep again. You know, what is Kyle Whittingham's future? You know, he slid in there this morning late during his availability that, you know, he's having as good a time now as he's had at any point during his career. He's not thinking about retirement. Okay, fair enough. You're in the middle of the season. You're not thinking about it. But at some point, he will sit down with his wife, presumably his children, his athletic director, whoever, and this is going to be a topic of conversation. It's going to be on the table. And I'm not saying that anything is imminent, but look, he just turned 62. He has already said publicly that he does not intend to coach past 65. The stress of having two players die within 9 months of each other with the COVID-19 pandemic mixed in, the stress and the toll of that is untold. I think even if they don't win the Pac-12 title game, even if he doesn't get to a Rose Bowl, he's already the most accomplished coach in program history. He has nothing to prove to anybody. They should probably build a statue outside Rice-Eccles Stadium. What do I think? I think there's reason to believe that he'll at least consider it. But then, you know, there's another line of thinking, well, you know, this team is very young. He says he's having a good time. Maybe he feels re-energized by this group. A lot of these kids, look, barring more transfers, barring guys who we don't expect to go to the NFL, going to the NFL, maybe he's re-energized by this group. So I could see it both ways. He's tired. It's been too much. He wants to quit. You know, he's got six grandchildren, wants to spend family time, fine. Other side of that, maybe he's re-energized. We're not going to know the answer to this for at least another month.
Would Andy Ludwig be a candidate if he left, or where does Utah turn?
I think Andy Ludwig's name will pop up there. I think Morgan Scali, who, had, you know, he's the D coordinator now. At one point, he was officially the head coach in waiting. I think it'll circle back to that. Mark Harlan, the athletic director, has, you know, shown himself to be a bit of a big thinker, big name thinker, big opponent thinker. I think he will circle the wagons and exhaust all options. But I do think Scali is going to get, you know, a lot of hype. His name's going to be out there a ton just because, look, he's a born and bred Utahn, you know, played for Kyle, you know, Mountain West defensive player of the year and the whole thing. I think this thing is going to come back around to Scali. If there is a coaching search, it would be fascinating to see what Harlan does with it.
Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune with us. In the South Division, Utah is on top right now. USC makes a splashy hire today. Lincoln Riley going to USC. That's scaring Utah fans, or what's the reaction?
Yeah, Utah fans are a little worked up about that today. I think there's a notion that, you know, hey, we better win this one on Friday night because here comes Lincoln Riley and he's going to recruit and the, you know, he's a quarterback whisperer, the whole thing. I think there's definitely a faction of this Utah fan base that believes that Utah is going to take over the South Division for the foreseeable future. Now, look, when Chip Kelly went to UCLA, I think it was the same perception that Chip Kelly was going to come back you know, to the Pac-12 and, you know, and that they would dominate the Pac-12. That has not happened. So, and I read your column today, very good. I would agree with you. Let's pump the brakes just a little bit. But if you're asking, you know, what the, you know, what the average Utah fan thinks, I think there is a little bit of dread in terms of what the future looks like, being that USC is in the same division.
Oregon against Utah on Friday in Vegas. A little bit shorter week for the Ducks, but something at stake. I think Oregon will show up, Josh. I think it's a much closer game. I'm picking Oregon, but, you know, I last 2 weeks I've been wrong about Oregon's picks. I picked them over Utah, and I picked Oregon State over Oregon, and so I'm not feeling great about this pick. I've got a 28-27 Oregon. I think it's in the high 20s. How do you see it?
I haven't picked a game right in 2 months, I swear. the thing I keep coming back to is, can Oregon make up 31 points in 13 days? You take away the Tubby punt return. Can Oregon make up 24 points in 13 days? It just, I keep going back to the first one and just how one-sided it was. I'm leading Utah. I agree with you, somewhere in the high 20s. Maybe somebody gets to 30, 31, but I do think that Utah gets over the hump and gets it done.
Is Covey coming back for another year? The kid's been in college since 2015. Can he go already?
Covey. Covey's 24 years old. He'll be 25 in March. His career dates back to 2015. You know, indications are that he is going to call it a career. That's not official. He would like to. I think he would be really good as a coach. He has mentioned that. Whatever he does, seriously, from a media perspective, he has been, you know, a breath of fresh air every time he opens his mouth. And for that athletic department, he has been a tremendous ambassador for what that athletic department stands for and what they want their student athletes to be.
Josh Newman, I'll see you in the press box in Vegas. We'll look around that stadium together. I appreciate you, my friend.
John, travel safe. Thanks.
There he is, Salt Lake Tribune. There's the take from Salt Lake. Leave it here. Our big splash coming up. Every day on the program, we do a big splash. Today, no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the big splash. Brought to you by the Exogen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, we've already talked about USC and Lincoln Riley. Done deal. USC fans very excited about that. We've also talked about the death of Lee Elder, the first black golfer to play at the Masters, died at the age of 87. Broke through Augusta's race barrier in 1975 during that competition. I want to talk about Kalen DeBoer, Fresno State's coach, seemingly headed to Washington. Jen Cohen, the athletic director at Washington, zeroing in on the Fresno State coach. I tweeted today that Utah's fans were a little uptight and tense on Twitter. Oregon's fans were a little angry and frustrated for some reason. Meanwhile, you have the USC fan intoxicated with the hire of Lincoln Riley. Washington fan just wants something to care about. Unsure. Feels like a little bit of a reach for Jen Cohen, but I like the hire. I like what DeBoer did at Fresno State. Can he do it? Can he duplicate it at Washington? We'll see. That's your big splash. A lot going on this week in what is a short week. A narrow miss. Christian McCaffrey done for the season in the NFL. He's got an ankle injury. He will miss the remainder of the season. Suffered that injury in Sunday's loss to the Dolphins. Matt Rhule said the initial report was, hey, this isn't so bad. But MRI later this morning revealed that the damage was enough to put him on season-ending reserve because of the time it will take for him to recover. So keep an eye on that. Oregon and Utah on Friday. That'll be a big matchup. I picked it. I'm picking the Ducks 28, Utes 27. Do not.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but
If you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.